You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Cross is a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's big league match with Spennymoor Town from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello and Merry Christmas. I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be heading up to County Durham to hear how FC United got on in their tough away trip to Spennymoor Town. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start with contract extension news, as Joel Logan has put pen to paper on a new contract, which will see the skillful winger remain at the club until the end of May 2019. And speaking of wingers, the club this week has also signed former Manchester City youth and Welsh under-17 international Sam Tatum, who goes straight into the squad for Saturday's match with Spennymoor. Elsewhere, and the club has announced a new partnership with HM Pasties, a social enterprise that offers sustainable training, mentoring, coaching and employment for people with criminal convictions. They pay a living wage and provide a mentoring and job coaching service for their staff, and they source their ingredients from the prison estate too. You can find out more about HM Pasties by visiting their website, hmpasties.com. And finally, FC United have announced that the Energy Check will be the club's new main sponsor. Earlier this year, the Energy Check launched their domestic utility switching site, theenergycheck.co.uk, and already had a very good relationship with the club. For more on this news, on Saturday evening, Ben spoke with club CEO Damien Chadwick.
So big news this week, Damien, a main club sponsor. It's been a long time coming, and how's this all come about with Energy Check?
I think it's been two seasons, hasn't it? So it's all part about just growing the relationship. They came on board and took the advertising down the side of the pitch, which everyone sees. As part of that deal, they wanted to get fans to switch, and more importantly, businesses to switch. And obviously, through our relationships with other businesses, etc., and supporters kind of recommending their businesses to switch, they were really pleased. And obviously, they get what the club's about, and they wanted to get involved a bit more. So we kind of spoke to them about the homeless projects, and then we was talking about the community sponsorship. And one thing led to another, and following quite a number of discussions, I introduced David, the CEO, to Bolton Wanderers and Bolton Arena, which are obviously big entities, and they switched with them. So he wanted to take it to the next level, and he says, you know, if we can get more people switching, I'll be main sponsor, which, you know, he was true to his word.
And that's one of the things that they picked upon in the statement, was the fact that they got what the club was about. And
yeah, they're based in the North East, but actually most of them are all rugby lads. And they were blown away. When they came in summer, they were blown away about the fan ownership. And, you know, they understand about, you know, how football in the Premier League and in the UK is going. And, you know, they can see that we're an alternative to that. And they really it struck with them. And also, there was kind of reading through, obviously, when you're building a relationship, they want to get involved in the club and, you know, all our community projects that we do, the homeless projects. And it was just the right fit for them. So they wanted to increase their support to the club.
Excellent stuff. And just a couple of other pieces of news this week. Joel Logan has extended his stay with us till May 2019. A long list now of young players who we've got signed, and you've been on before talking about, you know, it's about having a squad that's going to finish this season, but also take us into next season. And he's a cracking player since he's joined.
Yeah, we're really pleased to get Joel to commit to the club. took a bit longer than some of the other players, but, you know, he's got other considerations, you know, not one deal's the same. So, yeah, he'd went away, thought about it, he was enjoying his football, he loves playing for FC United, he loves playing for Tommy Greaves, and he signed up to be with us till May 2019. Obviously, we've just been up to Spennymoor this afternoon, and John England told me it's the youngest bench we ever had. I think we had a lot of 18-year-olds and 21-year-olds. And now, you know, someone said you won't win anything with kids, but for a club like FC United, having a very young team and not kind of journeyman football players, for want of a better term, is something that will hold us in good stead in the long term. And obviously, we've seen transfers this year, and, you know, that's something, if we're going to get ourselves out of a debt position, it's something that we have to factor in and work towards, and it becomes part of, it sits outside the business plan, but when it does happen and we are able to sell a player, it'll hopefully go towards supporting the club financially.
And we started off talking about energy check and the fact that, you know, they've been blown away with the club's community work. Obviously, Christmas, Vinny and the team are all working on Christmas Day. There was also the announcement with regards to Her Majesty's pasties,
yeah.
Which is it's a beautiful idea. This, I'm yeah. quite fond of
well,
it.
Well, we looked at it's, you can only got one pair of hands, and obviously, you know, the club operates on a quite a low kind of structure from employees' point of view. So it was a lot of things we wanted to do, but we just couldn't have the time. And there was more important pressing matters last season than the start of this season. But one thing we wanted to do was look at the catering on the match day and work with, you know, try and work with suppliers that are kind of similar to us. So we went to see Suma Food, who are cooperative, and, you know, they do vegan and vegetarian food, so there's something that we might look at in the new year with them. And then we kind of got introduced to Steve, who set up this enterprise that's basically set up to help prisoners when they're on probation kind of integrate back into the work and the community and hopefully stop reoffending. And he talks about, you know, the pasties and how all the veggies growing on the at Kirkham prison. And it was just great, you know, talking to him. It was brilliant. I was like, I didn't even know the price of the pasties or anything. I just said, you've got to supply FC because you're absolutely what FC is all about.
And so, they're big pasties, aren't they?
Oh, they're like a door wedge. So when you... You know, they take some eating, but obviously being a small lad myself, I managed to get through one.
So when are these starting then? Is it going to be in time for Salford?
Yeah, Salford. We're going to have them on in the, as what we call the Kaz bar, on the food bar on, next to the Real Ale bar, and then up in the function room. And then we'll look to... The thing is he was quite shocked when we went back to him. He said, right, we need 100 passes. He went, oh, right, I'm not set up for that. So we have to give him a bit of time, and you know, as hopefully it'll grow. And what the idea is further down the line is some of the lads on probation will also come and work for us.
Right, brilliant.
So again, it's just kind of cements that kind of what we're trying to do. It's not just about just buying any from any old supplier. We do try to look at people who have got similar kind of ethics and aspirations as the club.
Well, Damien, congratulations again with the main sponsor news, and have a good Christmas.
And you, Ben. Thanks, mate.
FC United Club CEO Damien Chadwick there. And with regards to FC United's new main sponsors, the Energy Check, if you own a business or can speak to the person responsible in your company, then please speak to Andrew, Corporate Partnerships Manager at the Energy Check, on 0191 691 2096. And don't forget to mention FC United so the club can receive some commission. Supporters who are also looking to lower their own utility bills should use www.theenergycheck.co.uk, and please remember to put FCUM in the promotional code box, which triggers a £5 donation to the club when you complete. Thank you. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, following a mini break, FC United return to their difficult set of December fixtures with an away trip to playoff chasing Spennymoor Town. On Friday morning, Ben caught up with player manager Tom Greaves to hear his views going into this one.
So welcome back, Tom Greaves, after a little mini break. Firstly, has it been nice to have a break from football, or after those two great displays against Brackley and Harrogate, something that you didn't really want?
It was a well-deserved break, I think. We got the lads in on the Tuesday and Thursday, but we let them have the Saturday off to spend some well-deserved time with their friends and family. I thought the last two results have been fantastic. The way the lads have played has been superb. So yeah, we thought they deserved a little treat and have the day off.
And that then leads me to my next question. Then obviously there was no match on the Saturday. Did anyone get injured at B&Q?
Not that I know of.
Good.
No,
<That's good
laughs>
not news.
That I know of.
but we talk about those two great displays against Brackley and Harrogate, and two great occasions I felt as well at Broadhurst Park. The stadium was bouncing on yep. those two matches. Now, one thing we have noticed with this young side that you've developed now with your coaching staff is the fact that at home, I think they're two gears up at home. I think the young players, and they're obviously very excited playing in front of that crowd, and they try different things and they're giving 110%. Whereas if I look at Gainsborough away, it was a bit further back, the performance levels. What are we expecting going away to Spennymoor? It's a long trip, that one, and it's a very good side.
Yeah, it is, yeah. You find that's quite a lot sometimes. People have a good home record and not do so well on the road. It's something that we are looking at. It's something that we are working on. Maybe we need to change shape a little bit when we play away from home. Maybe tighten up at the back a little bit and maybe try break on the counter attack and things like that. So it's things that we have worked on in training. We worked on a slightly different shape last night to try tighten up and protect the back three. So yeah, it is something we're aware of, obviously. But sometimes things like that can just get in your head, and we've lost a couple away from home, and that automatically means we're poor away from home. But it doesn't. On the day, we know that we can beat anybody, and we'll be going into the Spennymoor game full of confidence after the last two results, and fingers crossed we can get another result.
One thing I do want to pick up upon, that the last match we gave man of the match to Matty Hughes, but really it could have gone to any of the back three. The back three, Fagbola, Corbett and Hughes, in those last two matches have been phenomenal, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, it's been a tough season, and we've conceded a lot of sloppy goals, and it was something that we really needed to work on, and that's why we've gone for the three at the back to try and tighten things up a little bit. When Sam Bear's been in there, he's been superb as well. So yeah, the lads have got that ability in them. We know they're good players. They're good on the ball. They're good in the air. They know what they're doing. They're all experienced lads, and yeah, I was pleased more for them, to be honest, for the two good results, because it's been a long time coming, really.
And up front, there's yourself, and you've got your 100 goals now. What does it yep. mean? What does it mean now you've got that 100 goals? Is the pressure off now for you, or do you think to yourself, God, it's going to be dead hard to get the 101st?
To be honest, it feels like a big cloud's been lifted from above my head. It's been something that I've wanted for a long time. I've made no secret about that, and I got kind of stuck on the 90s for quite a while. Found myself on the bench and not playing and not really getting the opportunity to go and get the 100. Now I've done it. I'm kind of a person that sets myself targets, so. Yeah, 101, 102. See how far we can go and set a record for somebody to beat in a few years' time.
Now, at the end of the Brackley game, you caught up with James and Swampy, and you were talking about that behind closed doors match that was going to be taking place on the Tuesday. And obviously, that was snowed off or frosted off, I suppose is the right term.
Yeah.
Where are you up to now with this search for a striker that's been talked about on various message boards and through various people we've spoken to? Are we still looking for a striker, or is one close?
Yeah, of course we are. Yeah, we're always actively looking for strike. Well, for any player really. If somebody comes in and we think that's going to strengthen the squad, then we'll bring them in. We've had a couple of lads in training who look the part. So yeah, we'll be taking action in the next few days. It's obviously a busy Christmas period, and you probably need to use a bigger squad than what we've got. So fingers crossed if we can tie somebody down in the next few days, then that'd be great.
And we did mention that the back three. We should mention Irwin and Kay as well, especially Kay. I mean, Kay's performances of late have been really, really, really impressive, and Irwin's helped too. How important are those two in this young side?
Yeah, they are very important. I mean, it's great. It is great bringing all the young lads through and the future of the club. But you need to get that balance right of the experience and the youth. And these lads are really helping the youngsters out. And you can see that in training. We do older against younger and stuff like that, just to have a good crack, really, and bring the young ones out of the shell. But Stevie and Scott have been superb. I mean, Scott's suspended this weekend, so he'll be a big loss, and it'll be hard to replace him there. But we have got talented lads in there. We've got people who can do a job, even if it's just for 1 week. And we're confident we can get something out of the game.
Thanks for reminding me to do my job properly. So, Kay's suspended. Anyone else going to be missing for Saturday?
Yeah, Joe Logan's knees flared up again. So he's struggling. And Wizza is still struggling, Danny Wisdom. So apart from that, we're all good to go.
Excellent stuff. And just a closing thought then. I mean, obviously, you know, we played Brackley, we played Harrogate. We had two cracking matches against Blyth and Spennymoor at Broadhurst Park, where I thought we were very unlucky, actually. FC United's never had a problem in upping their game against the teams up in the playoff positions. We didn't think we would get 4 points in December. How happy have you been with the December performances, and what do you take from that going into Spennymoor and the two Salford matches?
The results have been superb. I see things on social media and things like that, and people didn't expect us to get the results, so we've shocked a few people, but that can also work against you. Spennymoor won't be taking us lightly. They won't think we're the whipping boys of the league anymore. They know that we've kind of turned the corner, so that can also work against you. But obviously, we were disappointed with the point against Brackley, so that just, it shows how far we have come, and we'll be disappointed if we don't get something against Spennymoor and Salford over the three games.
Well, Tom Greaves, player manager at FC United, a big thank you for joining us, and we'll be hearing from you after Saturday's match against Spennymoor. Thanks for joining us.
So, man. Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
FC United player manager Tom Greaves there speaking on Friday morning. And to find out how the Reds got on up at Spennymoor, it's over to FC Live on Saturday afternoon.
Now, welcome everyone to, I can't pronounce the name of the ground.
Go on, Ben, try it.
Brewery Fields.
Sorry, what's that, Ben?
Brewery Fields.
That'll do.
Thank you.
Imagine if that was actually a Beatles song and you love singing it, and it got to the chorus and then go, Brewery Fields forever.
So it's a tough game, this. FC United haven't played in two.
Loud and clear in gloomy South London. Merry Xmas. Think we can surprise Spennymoor and come away with at least a point. That's from Dave in the Big Smoke.
Now, home form for Spennymoor is very strong, and away form for FC United's pretty weak. And a strange thing happened about 5 minutes ago. Our statistician, who deals with facts and numbers, basically said...
Just facts and numbers, nothing else.
Yeah.
Just the facts,
what,
man.
What did you say, Paul?
Well, basically, Spennymoor have scored in every home game, and eventually they're not going to, so we're going to clutch on that one.
OK, well, I'll clutch with you.
Oh, another bird joke.
But there are some missing players this afternoon as well. Joe Logan, who has signed...
He just vanished, didn't he? He was there, and then he just vanished out of nowhere.
He has signed a new contract till May 2019, but he's had a flare-up of his... He's had a reoccurring injury.
He's had a flare-up?
A flare-up
like 1970s.
He's got some new pants, basically.
A 1970s, like, retro afternoon. He's got a big flare-up.
And Scotty Kay is suspended.
And everyone goes, wonder when that was going to happen.
Unexpectedly.
But we say records are there to be broken, and Curzon Ashton a couple of weeks ago did beat Spennymoor here 4-2.
Well, they've lost twice here at home this season, both 4-2, York and Curzon.
So in those games, Spennymoor did score.
They did score, yeah. They still scored, but they did lose.
It's possible, so Swamper.
It's possible, yeah.
Yes, anything's possible. I completely agree, and I'm looking forward to the game. It's going to be very, very tough. But FC United, for me, as I said earlier on, I do believe this is the toughest test we'll have over the Christmas period.
And the next two games are Salford.
Yeah, I still believe that this is the toughest game out of the lot. I really do. Just the way, the style of football that they play here at Spennymoor, and we saw it at Broadhurst Park, and we were defeated on that day. It was a good game of football, in fairness, but they play football. And you'll see it here this afternoon, or hear it here this afternoon. And I'm looking forward to commentating here at Brewery Lane.
Fields. Brewery Fields.
I'm calling Brewery Lane now.
One thing to mention, which we've already mentioned and it'll be off, is the pitch. It's...
I wonder what was happening there.
It's very bobbly and very up and downy.
There's a giant caterpillar just been moved in front of us.
Like Bellevue, isn't it? Look at that.
Oh, the old caterpillar at Bellevue.
But what do you reckon then today? I mean, what are your expectations?
I expect we're going to be defending for long periods.
I think the lads will have done the homework. They've set the team up with the way they think they can best nullify Spennymoor's attack. And it's going to be a good game of football. It's going to be a tough game of football. And if we get anything out of it, I'll be very, very pleased. If we get all 3 points, I'll be absolutely delighted. If we get a point, equally as delighted.
I think we'll be thrilled with a point. Absolutely thrilled. Absolutely.
It would be nice if this sun disappeared, because basically it is smack bang right in our eyes, and even my flat cap with a pair of sunglasses on aren't helping.
It is very sunny, very windy. But what do you make of the ground? I mean, there's a bit of a Darlington situation here, isn't there? I mean, playoffs.
Well, they're in the playoffs at the moment. They've got 264 seats here at the ground, but they have put something in place. If they're still in the playoffs going towards March, the left-hand side to us, which is a standing area at this moment in time, that will be covered with seats. and they'll be ready for the next division up. The one problem you have here is parking. I mean, because basically there isn't any.
You can't buy any.
Thanks, Paul.
And you know, it's a club who are on the up, and if they do manage to get promoted, it's going to be one of those grounds that people, you know, with a big contingent of supporters, are going to find it quite difficult to come here and get something out of a game. But you know, it's should be okay.
I mean, what we saw from Spennymoor last season in the NPL, when we watched them a few times, was the fact that they are a solid unit who play fast-paced, direct football, and they get behind you, don't they? And they do that, as you would call it, diagonal ball a lot of the time. They're very effective, aren't they?
They are, and they're also a team that have kept the vast majority of the squad for the last two or three seasons, and they've all grown together, so they know the intricacies of how the manager wants them to play. And Ainsley, you know, Jason Ainsley, he's got them playing great football, and at the same token, they know each other really well, so they can defend, they can work as a unit. We're still work in progress. I mean, it's still not a Tom Greaves team yet, because he's not been able to bring anyone in really, although we have got a couple of people today.
And on the substitutes bench is a new signing, which is filed in City, I think it is.
Yeah, well, Samuel Tatum was at Stalybridge Celtic, but he broke his leg. And Steve, what's another leg, arm, ankle, neck?
Everything. He's been very unlucky, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was what's the name? Evel Knievel stump double. But he's only a young lad, you know. He's obviously got a bit of quality about it. He's been given an opportunity at FC United, and we'll see what he can do. But I mean, today for me, the two key players in it for it are going to be, I think, from an attacking perspective, is Kit.
Be quiet, Swamper. This music can only mean one thing: the teams are about to come out.
Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the teams. It's in goal for FC United of Manchester. It's Lloyd Allison, number 2, Joel Senior, number 3, Tom Walker, number 4, Zach Corbett, Jordan Fagbola, number 5, Matty Hughes today is 6, and the captain, Kieran Glynn, number 7, Steve Irwin, number 8, Thomas Greaves, number 9, Conor McCarthy, number 10, and Craig Wingfield, number 11. On the bench, it's Terrell Palmer, it's Stephen Affleck, and it's Michael Jones, Sam Baird, and Samuel Tatum. It's the wind doesn't help Allinson, and he made the ball get to the halfway line, and he has to track all the way back. It's an underplayed ball there, and it's a number 7. It should be 1-0. It is 1-0, and the number 7, Ryan Hall, there. Well, Walker underhit the pass back to his goalkeeper. Out came Allison to try and close it down, but the pace of the number 7, Ryan Hall, went skip past him and put the ball into the back of the net. And that is an unforced error that you cannot afford to give this team. Chested down though by Chandler. Chandler plays it inside now to Matty Dixon. Dixon plays the ball through the middle again. There's a free man there, an opportunity to make it two. FC's defence absolutely static. They all looked at each other and decided no one was going to mark anybody. And Robert Ramshaw there, the number 8, said thank you very much. The ball in from Chandler to his chest. He looked around, he looked at the FC defence, and he went, "Where are you?" And they went, "Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter."
He had the freedom of the penalty area to turn and pick his spot.
He had the freedom of the northeast. Glynn now, one player around him. Oh, lovely touch and turn there by Glynn. He needs to get the ball to the air if he can. He has to play the ball back to Steve Irwin. Irwin very deep this afternoon. Everything he's done, back to the halfway line. Everyone for FC in the penalty area still. Ball chipped in the back post. Who's on the end of it? Fagbola wins the header.
Oh,
goal from Fagbola. Well, it was a ball played speculatively on the halfway line from Senior, because everyone had stayed up, and Fagbola, well, he found himself in a little bit of room, and he headed the ball back as if he was heading it back to his own goalkeeper, so to speak, and the goalkeeper was in no man's land, and it was exactly what we needed to do.
That was that moment of hesitation when the ball was played long into the box, where the centre-back didn't read it, he didn't pick up Fagbola, and the goalkeeper just kind of lost his bearings.
Ball chipped in towards the back post. Keeper thinks about coming for it, and he gathers it. It was interesting that everyone went, "Keepers," including our players.
Yeah, it's like the old
parting of the waves, and they went, "There you go." Shane Bland should have been challenged there, and no one challenged him at all. Poor again. You get them opportunities, you've got to take them. What a fancy clearance from the goalkeeper as well. And here's an opportunity, and here's the man who's just been booked in, the number 7. Can he get a shot across?
Oh, he's gone in. Don't believe it.
Well, that's the howler from Allinson, I'm afraid.
Well, he's allowed the ball to dribble
through his fingers and over the line.
Ryan Hall there. Again, the ball came in. We've not learned the lessons. That diagonal ball to the right-hand side. He does well to stand against his man. He gets a tentative shot away, to be honest. And Well, Alisson, that's now taken out.
I think we've had 4 goals and 4 mistakes.
As the ball played wide right-hand side now, it's Griffiths. Griffiths has a man inside, but he plays it to the penalty area. There's a 1-2. This is great football. This should be 4. Oh, it's a great goal. It really is. I mean, there's a static defence, don't get me wrong, but that was wonderful football. And a step over there, a 1-2, and then launched bottom corner. Nothing SC's goalkeeper could do. It's 4-1 to Spennymoor. And that's the kind of football that me and Ben and others have been accustomed to seeing for the last few seasons. And Spennymoor, when they are on form, that is just a typical goal from them, Paul.
That's the first goal of the afternoon that really we can't fault anybody for. It was great give and go, wasn't it? And once he got into the box in the right position, his shot was true. And I can't blame Alisson for that one.
At 4-1, I think I might be having a look at maybe a couple of the players on the bench, giving them the opportunity to come into it. You know, you're nothing to lose at 4-1 down. As Linfield plays it back to Cine. Cine's ball's inside to Jones. Jones being hustled by two, but plays a lovely ball diagonal left-hand side now for Corbett. Corbett in the wing-back position to the penalty area. Can he get the ball across field? Yes, he has a great ball. And a goal by McCarthy. A header. That was lovely football. All set up on this near touchline. A throwing from Senior. Senior played it into Jones. Jones ball. Well, it opened the defence with a great ball down the left-hand side. A penetration run from Corbett. Corbett put the ball in. And on a sixpence, McCarthy could not fail to miss. And he didn't. And he headed his, what, first goal of the season?
No. I think it's his second league goal.
Tassel plays a ball in, good strong header there though by the skipper Mason. Halfway line picked up by Jones, and Jones ball again. It's exactly what they've been doing to us, he's doing to them now. He plays it inside to Senior. Senior's crossing the ball, it's an opportunity now. Should be a shot, should be a goal. Here's a goal at the near post. Near post even. Where it's a simple game when you play the ball in, and the goalkeeper there should have done far, far better. But it was that man, Linfield, as the ball was whipped in. He got to the right-hand side and he drilled it. And it was very, very similar to the mistake that Alisson made.
Third goal, yeah.
And,
again, it was the vision of Jones that played the ball out first time into the space, wasn't it, that made it, really.
Who did the reverse pass then? Was it Senior?
Senior. Yeah. The reverse pass was wonderful. We'll wait for this throw-in to be taken from FC. It's Linfield, back to goal. Plays it to Tatum. Ball played into the penalty. It's a decent one. Greaves leads the ball. There's an opportunity. Equaliser! The back post. Well, Greaves must have heard the call, because there was McCarthy at the back post, and FC United find themselves on level terms here at Spennymoor.
Well, we know the games over the festive period are dramatic, but 8 goals shared at the Brewery Field is quite incredible.
And Jones balls that diagonal, and it's a decent ball for the 16, keep it in play. No, he can't, but he doesn't need
whistle.
To because the final whistle is FC's debutant goes flying there under a challenge that the referee's not seen by Callum Griffiths, but it's not going to make any difference because FC United have got, and it's what's going on the halfway line. It's all handbags at the moment. Hughes eventually all is calm.
It's still
a
naughty number 12.
Yes, he's been
naughty.
He's not taken the score very well at all.
The referee is letting it all just unfold, and well, the number 12, he's come on with half a beard and basically trying to throw himself to the ground and a bit of kidology. And FC United, a famous draw here, 4 apiece.
And I can only remember one other 4-all, and that was Worksop Town at home, about 2012.
There was a 5-all that
was Camel Laird.
That was interesting.
4-alls are even rare.
Who scored the equalising 5th goal?
Robinson.
It was.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what is interesting. I mean, that is a game in second half where you've got one player, as we've said, who really you should be saying, what's he on the pitch for? He come out second half, a different player. Work rate, tenacity, quality. McCarthy, second half. If he played like that every week, he'd score 20 goals. I mean, the delivery was superb, but the difference really, the marked difference, it was as if he could be bothered in the second half. First half, no. Second half, superb from him. Really impressed with that performance from him second half. But all round, a great, great game of football. To be 4-1 down against a team that you think are free scoring, could maybe score another 3 or 4. Work rate was excellent. And as you said, the guys at half time said, square holes, round pegs, and all that kind of nonsense. You put people back into where they should play, and all of a sudden, you've got a more of a fighting chance. Great debut from the youngster Tatum. Came on, his pace. Tatum. We call him Joel Logan. Logan. He's Joel.
On the way home, we'll interview him. How's that?
I don't think we can do that. I'm in a van.
No, I'll interview.
Oh, you'll interview. Fair enough. But no, all said, Paul. That's.
I think there were stages this afternoon where it looked like we couldn't organise. But credit to the coaching and the management team for correcting the problems we had in the first half, and we finished the game stronger, the two sides. And Spennymoor must be devastated. But we've got to give a lot of credit to Michael Jones when he came on. His vision, his touch, his passing, it opened up spaces, and we capitalised on it. The delivery for the three goals that we got in the second half were great goals.
It was a really interesting game in the fact that all the goals were, to a point, mistakes, and then Spennymoor goal make it three with an absolute terrific goal. We then score a great goal, and then we started mirroring ourselves with good quality goals. You know, 4-1 down, and good goals.
But that's a great fighting point, and I hope that gives them a lot of impetus for Boxing Day.
Well, they've put a massive shift in second half, and as I say, listen, we've been massive critics, haven't we, of McCarthy, in fairness. And you know what, second half, if he can do that week in, week out, then, well, we're saying well done, Linney, apart from getting himself booked, because we actually said in commentary, he's conned the referee there. Oh no, he hasn't. The referee's got it right. He's just booked him for diving. But Fruster should have been booked here.
Three goals from the Scousers today.
Yeah.
You can point that one out to them.
The three Scouse kings. In fact, what do they have? Was it frankincense?
And gold.
A golden game.
Welcome everyone to one more cup of coffee, by the way, over on Facebook and in audio form on FC Radio. Massive road point. Keep climbing the table. That's from Jonathan. The thing is, we have to remember, right? Harrogate, Brackley, Spennymoor away. 5 points. You'd take that, wouldn't you?
This December was looking a very, very difficult month.
Did you call
month.
It dicey December?
I called it dicey December.
Yeah.
And yet, got to give credit to the players. They've taken on some really tough opposition this month so far, and they've come up with the goods, haven't they? The point against Brackley was a hard fought point. Again, we've had to score four times here to get a draw, and you know that's tough. Spennymoor's not an easy place to come to, and you know you look at this month and it's been a positive month. We've got the two games of Salford to come, obviously. But, you know, Salford had a bad defeat today.
They have indeed.
You described this game a long time ago as the hardest of the lot.
This was going to be the hardest game I thought FC would have over the Christmas period by a country mile. And in the first half, it proved very much to be the case. We undid ourselves with some very, very woeful defending. However, what we managed to do is rearrange ourselves in the second half, come out with a fighting spirit, come out with a bit of quality, and also match them. I think it was instrumental bringing off a couple of key players, and I think they did it because they thought the game was over and was won. But I thought we battled, and as I say, I've criticised, and Paul's criticised, and you have, we've all criticised McCarthy, and that's our job to do so, is to see what we see. But second half wise, absolutely superb.
With McCarthy, we were saying at half time, we were trying to work out how can FC United play to the strengths of McCarthy, because he's not a hold up player. We saw that at Gainsborough away. In this game, it was what Steve Wood said. If he goes out wide
is where he does his best work. I mean, he's one of the best assist players that we've got this season. If you look at the stats, he's not a goal scorer generally. He's an assist. You know,
he's an assist.
Yeah, he's an assist player. But, you know, he scored twice today because he got in good positions.
Well, I think what you'll find with McCarthy is if McCarthy puts a work rate in, if McCarthy believes in himself, then he's going to put performances in like that. And, you know, a marked difference in the second half because he did believe in himself. He believed that he could win balls. He wasn't losing the ball at his feet. He was not letting players get in front of him. They were doing things that he should be doing week in, week out. And he's proven today, to a degree, what he's capable of doing, but he's got to do that week in, week out. tremendous this afternoon from him, second half. You know, that's a man of the match performance, second half for me, because basically he was that poor in the first half. You just didn't think that was he was capable of that in the second. And he came out, and I was really, really pleased for him.
One player who did also add a lot in the second half was Jones when he came on. It was an unfortunate injury what Walker got in this, that foul down here. But Jones, he added a bit of something, didn't he?
He dictated the game, didn't he, at times? I mean, his range of passing is superb.
What did
Short
he do?
And long.
Very simple what he did. He spread the play. He actually opened the game.
It's what Irwin wasn't doing in the first half. And that goes back to the square pegs in round holes. It felt like we had put Corbett in midfield.
And
it kind of took a lot away from what Irwin's good at. And with Jones slotting into midfield, it kind of worked in that second half, didn't it? Irwin, Jones.
Kind of worked. It's four all, mate. Another 10 minutes, it could have been 16-15.
to us.
Of course. But, I mean, I think when you look at that game and you look at the impact that Jones has had, and that's what he did. He did to them what they'd been doing to us all game. As soon as he got that ball, he had it whipped out. Before you get a chance to think what he's going to do with the ball, it's already gone away from him. And the width that we created in that second half, I thought the young lad who came on, Tatum, was absolutely superb. Got a lot of pace, got down the byline. Great, you know, great work, tenacity all over the pitch. But, I mean, he's a class act, is Jones. Real class act. And
we're saying, he's been out for the last few games on the substitutes bench. He's got to be back in for Salford, hasn't he?
I would have thought so, yeah.
And bear in mind, we've just drawn 4-4, and we're still looking for a goal scorer.
That's true, too. Yeah, good point, Paul. Good point, well made. Jonathan also says, this is why you never, ever give up. It's not over until the final whistle. John O'Connor, just think what it could have been if we'd stopped letting the opposition go 1-up and then 2-up.
And then 3-up.
And then 3-up and then 4-1-up.
Well, I've got one here. What the... Popped out to pick up the turkey from the local butchers. Score was 4-2 to Spennymoor. It's 4-4.
You can listen to SCUM Radio on your iPhone or on your smartphone.
Be careful. This is Chocolate John. He's bringing us treats next week. I'll go and pop out again, he says. But I don't have to now. You can come back in.
Melvin's been in such
a... It was just a vegan turkey, by the way.
Speaking of shopping, just think I nearly went shopping, Melvin. A lucky escape. I mean, we did say it'll be off. On paper, you should go out shopping this afternoon. Football is not played on paper. It's played on a sloping pitch. And the second half, with the wind as well, it really aided us, didn't
it? Yeah. Well, so please do not make the accusation that we said go shopping. It was clearly you.
It's a team effort.
We set
the drama up.
It was nothing
to do
with
the drama.
We send people to the shops.
We send people to the shops so that when they come back, it's a bigger surprise for them.
Off the bob.
Yes. Yeah, it's more of a thrill when they put the radio on.
It's not about the journey, it's about the final destination.
Talking to surprises.
Yes.
Here's my surprise to the radio listener.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's come to that time of year again that I have to announce, unfortunately, I am leaving the Republic of Mancunia once again. I will be living from January in Brussels. I'm not there to negotiate on behalf of anybody.
He's leaving because it's probably the right thing to do.
Yes, so broadcasts. I'll be with you till at least 2017.
He'll still be sprouting up.
You'll be with us till 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone, basically. It's over.
The good news is, ladies and gentlemen,
flights are cheap until we leave Europe,
and then.
But the good news is, Swampy's got an Irish passport, so that means he'll be jumping those four-hour queues while the rest of us, with our brand new blue passports,
we'll stand around for hours.
And the nice little blue passports.
So I'm joining you, my friend. Don't worry.
I am going to be hopefully coming back pretty much every weekend to hopefully continue, unless they keep changing fixtures because Manchester City.
It's not City's fault.
Well, it's the council.
This last one, just aside from the football, this last one is an absolute disgrace. City are playing at 5:30 in the evening, so we can't play at 3:00. Basically, so once every single City player or fan are in the ground, we can't leave Mostyn for the fear of what? What's going to happen?
There might be a tram that's got one or two fans on it.
They've got on the wrong tram line, then, haven't they?
Yeah, they certainly have. But anyway, that's for another day. But
Stuart's been in touch. Just need to tighten up the defence. Need to concentrate for the full 90 minutes.
the 4-4 is not a flattering result, because both teams, you know, score four goals, and that's where we are at the end of the game. There are personnel I think Tom clearly wants. There are positions that he clearly wants to have one or two people fighting for those positions. At this moment in time, it's quite a threadbare squad, but the players are all playing for themselves, playing together, working hard and giving 100%.
Steve, what a comeback. Happy Christmas to all the lads and Swamper. Loz has said Tatton seems like a good signing. Chris Bentley.
He came on, he was tremendous. Bags of pace and a really nippy player down the left hand side. And I was very, very impressed with his small contribution, but a vital contribution. And with that, I suppose all we can say really to the remaining people listening on the old interweb is four goals from FC, four goals from Spennymoor, an entertaining game from a neutral that would have been wonderful to watch from a managerial perspective, some woeful defending from both teams, but nevertheless, both teams going for it all the way through the game, played a competitive, good spirit, and entertaining game, and FC can be very, very proud of their record in the month of December, beating the likes of Harrogate, drawing with foes at Brackley, and then getting a draw here this afternoon. Absolutely superb. Two games to come, thick and fast now. Those games against Salford City. Salford City obviously getting beat today at home, 3-0, and it's going to be, it's one of those games now, because they've been beaten, Salford, they're going to be wounded, and we've got to make sure that we're ready for them on Boxing Day, and then obviously New Year's Day, and then we're into the nitty-gritty of January, and that's where hopefully everything will be sorted. And well, from me, because I've got to drive all the way home.
So we'll be back on Tuesday, on Boxing Day, for FC United against Salford City, live from Broadhurst Park. And look out for This Club Is My Club on Sunday with all the latest news and stuff from the club. But have a lovely Christmas wherever you are in the world listening to us. Have a lovely time. Stay out of trouble. I don't want any reports of ill behaviour or that kind of thing. Wrap up warm, and you'll be hearing from us again on Boxing Day.
Take care, Ben.
Bye-bye,
listeners. Bye, everyone.
FC live there from Saturday afternoon, and after that incredible comeback, Ben spoke with FC United player manager Tom Greaves.
So thanks for joining us after that, Tom. They often say games over the festive period are a bit unpredictable, a bit bonkers at times. I think that was a case in point there, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Game of two halves, as they say as well. We went a different formation today. Obviously everybody knows about the run away from home, which we're struggling with at the minute. And without Scott Kerr doing a little defensive role, what he does so well, we thought we'd change it up a bit and try like a 4-2-3-1. But with the lads getting forward, Linney and Maka getting forward, to create that three up front, and then the two lads sat in front of the defence, shielding the defence. But I don't think it was the formation that didn't work. There were more than a few individual errors in the first half. We managed to cut them out the second half, and unbelievable second half again.
It really was. One of the things we were talking about going into the game, because me and Swamp have seen Spennymoor a couple of times last season, they like that diagonal ball, and they were doing that a lot in that first half.
Yeah, we got caught out of position a couple of times, especially down the left-hand side there, so Tom had dropped in a little bit. But yeah, it was just a reaction from the lads that I'm so pleased with. Again, I'd go to war with these boys, they're absolutely unbelievable.
We also said you had squares in round holes a lot of the time in the first half. Jones's introduction, by hook or by crook, I think it was more fortunate because Walker picked up and knocked into it at that time. He really did add something in midfield, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Changing the formation, we went with Zach in there, and that'll have probably shocked a few people. But we thought if it doesn't quite go to plan, he can just slide back into the three, which we've been playing so well at. That was the choice there. And we spoke to Jonesy, because I'm sure he would have been frustrated at seeing Zach in there before him. And I can understand that. But yeah, when he came on, he's been superb today. He's changed the game for us.
And a bit weird, because it was a game of 2 hours, but it was a game of 2 hours for McCarthy as well, because in the first half, it wasn't sticking for him at all. No. In the second half, he was... well, man of the match performance.
Yeah, it was difficult going up the hill. It's hard work running up there, and nothing seemed to be sticking for either of us. Any of us, to be honest, it was difficult. We tried to get a few balls in behind, and that's where we got a little bit of joy. But yeah, second half, he's got his goals, he's got in them positions, and he's a goal scorer at the end of the day, and he's done what we've asked him to do today. Really pleased for him.
What was your role in that last goal, by the way? Did you get that flick on there?
Yeah, that was my assist, yeah. Just a little flick, just sometimes that's all it needs, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. and we saw the introduction as well of Tatum.
Tatum,
right. Swampy was right all along, we were slagging him off. Tatum. He's got a bit of pace to him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that transfer, because it did come out of the blue a bit towards the end of the week.
Yeah, it did, yeah. He's been training with us a few weeks, and he played in the trial game against the development team a couple of weeks ago, and he's been really impressive. It was an agent that got onto me, his agent, said that he's a great lad, sent me a few videos, and I just thought there was something about him. I had a chat with him a couple of weeks ago, said, look, we'd like to get you in, potentially to then get you back out on dual reg with somebody to get some games, because he has been unfortunate with a lot of injuries and he's not match sharp. But he's come on today and he's injected that little bit of pace into the game, and he's done really well. I'm pleased with him.
What's his position? Is he a left winger or left back?
No, again, he's filled in a position. He's more of a right-sided player,
right.
Like a right wing back type player, so puts a little bit of pressure on Joel Senior as well, which is always good. But he can play a little bit further on, so if we need to go 4-3-3, he can slot in there as well. So yeah, he's done well. I'm impressed.
Now we've been talking about Dicey December, as we called it on the radio. That's 5 points now from three really tough games. You must be dead chuffed with the way it's all panning out this month.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you looked at that for the whole of December, I think most of the fans and myself would have took that. But we're going into every game now thinking that we can get something out of it. Again, you look at we've probably had a couple of little half chances that we could have nicked the win, but at 4-1 down, you take a point this far away. It was a rough journey coming up. Bus broke down, yeah. So it was a bit of a unorthodox preparation for us, but to get the point up here is fantastic. It sets us up for the two Salford games perfectly.
Well, Tom, thanks for joining us. I'm going off now for a hot drink.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right. Tom.
FC United player-manager Tom Greaves there following his side's excellent 4-4 draw against Spennymoor Town on Saturday afternoon. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy festive afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Ho, 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 everybody, and welcome to this week's awfully festive edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, heading into those two Salford matches, FC United, following that draw at Spennymoor, sit in 15th position in a very congested mid-table pack. Higher up the table and leader Salford City suffer their third defeat of the season, losing 3-0 at Moor Lane to Chorley. That left the door open for Harrogate to close the gap to just your mere 6 points to the leaders, following their own resounding 3-0 win against bottom-placed North Ferriby United on Saturday. Brackley, though, they slipped up and dropped to third, following a 1-1 draw at home to Telford. But no such slippage for fourth-placed Blyth Spartans, who won a thrilling match against York City at Bootham Crescent by 3-2. Bradford Park Avenue moved up to fifth, following a 4-0 win at Southport, while Kidderminster moved a bit closer to sixth-placed Spennymoor after yet another 3-0 win, this time against Nuneaton. Also winning 3-0 was Leamington at Tamworth, and remarkably Boston beat Alverton by, you guessed it, 3-2. 3-2. Oh, and Curzon drew 1-1 with Stockport County. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. Have a very merry, 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 merry Christmas. See you next time.
Thanks, Marv, and have a lovely Christmas. FC United return to action on Tuesday with yet another big game as FC hosts league leaders Salford City at Broadhurst Park on Boxing Day. Admission is £10 adults, £6 concessions and under 18s £3. Kick-off on Boxing Day will be at 3 p.m. This local derby is then followed by a New Year's Day return encounter at Moor Lane. That match will also kick off at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live from Manchester on Boxing Day and live from Salford on New Year's Day from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And that is it for This Club Is My Club for 2017. We'll be back on New Year's Day evening with a reaction and interviews from the two Salford matches. In the meantime, meantime, you can hear this show on Christmas Day and Boxing Day at 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big Merry Christmas to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and everyone at the club. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, have a wonderful Christmas.